It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cork Today on C103.
And let's head to the Islandwood Veterinary Hospital in Newmarket, part of the Mill Street Veterinary Group. Jane Pickett joining me this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Jane.
Good afternoon, Patricia.
And you're very welcome. Let me get straight into questions because Trevor in Carrigaline was on to say, Jack Russell, who they adopted from his late aunt, is now about 14 years old. So it's a senior dog, very good health. But in the last 2 months or so, developed a cough. Trevor describes it as sounding like a rough cough. Now, they did go to the vet and the vet at the time gave medication. But Trevor said 2 months on, it never really cleared up. He is planning on going back to the vet, but he's just wondering, do you feel he should be very concerned about this cough in an older dog?
I think when we have older pets, we always get a wee bit more concerned if something goes, you know, let's say if something goes awry or they have a new sign. And I think that's natural. What I would say is well done for going to the vet initially. If it didn't quite clear the cough, then I think you're thinking exactly along the right lines. Going back for reassessment is the way to go. There could be a few things going on here. In an older, small breed dog, they can sometimes get cough due to kind of a more flexible airway that they can develop over time called bronchomalacia. And sometimes they can have, let's say, a little bit of airway collapse. So the airway kind of doesn't stay strong and structured as it would do normally. So it's a bit more prone to infections. So sometimes they can get just little chest infections that will need help to clear. Sometimes it can be other things. Sometimes it can be a problem with the heart that's causing a cough. Just let's say if we have an enlarged heart, that can sometimes cause a cough. There's a number of things that it could be. Some of them, I would say, are very, very manageable. And some of them are definitely things that you want to know about because there's constructive things you can do for your pet. So I absolutely understand that kind of the need to worry in an older pet. It's really natural. I've had senior dogs quite recently, and it is always a worry when something changes with them. What I'd say is, look, the best thing you can do is just go back to your vet, let them know that the cough never really cleared. And I think that's a really important thing. It might just be a lot of time as vets, we see patients with an initial sign and we start them on initial treatment or initial investigation. And we never really know unless their lovely owners come back to us and let us know whether things sorted it out or whether it's back again and never really settled. We don't know these things. But normally as a vet, we'll kind of have a plan in our head as to, you know, well, what's the next step if this first initial management hasn't worked? And that might be different management or it might well be investigation. So some really common investigations that we do for chronic coughs in older patients would be things like chest x-rays, and that can give us a huge amount of detail about the lungs and the airways. So that's just one example. There's plenty of other things that could be possible for your dog depending on exactly how they look to the vet, but you know, all is not lost. Plenty of these conditions are really manageable, and I think the best thing, regardless of whether it's serious or whether it's something that's relatively benign and manageable, is just important to know so that you can take the best steps for your pet. But please, yeah, Don't worry, trust your vet.
But it's very, very understandable that you get concerned. Yeah. Let's stay with older dogs because Tommy in Douglas was on. He has a 16-year-old Labrador. Now, he said very fit and in great condition and all of that. But just in the last 2 months, whenever they go out for a walk, he's noticed at a certain point of time in the walk, the dog gets a bit out of breath. The dog literally stops and sits down and refuses to move for about 5 minutes. It's almost like he's trying to get his breath back. Now, Tommy is wondering, is this age related, and maybe they need to be cutting back the lengths of the walk, that as an older dog, do they not need to go as far as they did when they were younger?
I think it's always a really interesting thing, the length of walks as we get a bit older. It's kind of relative to how fit and able that dog feels. I think 16 is a fabulous age for a dog of his breed, and you know, long may it last. As long as he feels well, that's brilliant. what I'd say is that we do tend to see a natural kind of slowing down when they get into their latter years. And it may just be a little bit of old age. We're not feeling as able to keep up and go on those mega long walks as we may have done. So it may be worth, just for the meantime, cutting back a wee bit on the walking, just doing what your pet is comfortable with and not pushing it any further at the moment. But what I would say, and I suppose what I always say, I'm like a broken record, is any change for your pet is a big red flag that you need to go to the vet. And look, it may just be that it's aging change. It may just be that we need a wee adjustment to his lifestyle and slightly slower or more restricted walks that he can cope with and still go out and sniff the roses and be a happy boy on his walks. But it's just important to make sure that there's not something going on in the background that we can help him out with. And, you know, a pet that's, let's say, breathless on a walk, it can be a number of things. So it could be that they're struggling with their breath genuinely. They might have a little problem with their lungs, and that could be something very transitory, or it could be something, you know, let's say a more chronic, longer term process. Sometimes it can be a problem with the heart. So if the heart is not pumping as strongly as it did before, they can get a little bit breathless. But it can be simple things like a lot of dogs may slow down and pant a little bit if their joints are hurting. So it may just be something as simple as the fact he might have a little bit of a creaky joint. He struggles after a walk for a wee while and he pants because he's in a little bit of discomfort. So there's a number of things that could be going on. But again, I'd say to get to the bottom of it, I think, although it may just be aging change, it's just important to rule out that there's nothing that could be done medically that can help your vet to kind of carry on and keep up with those long walks if he wants to and if he's able to. So it's probably just a good idea to have a little checkup with a vet, just to chat through the current issue with the breathlessness. It may be that it's a simple fix. It may be that it just requires lifestyle adjustment, but it's just important to keep his quality of life good.
Especially the fact that he is 16. It's a great age for a Labrador.
Yeah.
Now, Anne in Middleton contacted us yesterday in the gardening slot, and Peter Dowdle, our resident garden, said, pass that one on to Jane. And it was to do with, she's at the end of her tether with a please, please, please help. She is having a problem with cats. They're not hers, they're neighbours' cats coming in and using her garden. She was out in her garden at the weekend putting up some weeds, and she got this awful smell. And I know exactly what she's talking about, the smell of a tomcat pee, I imagine. And she's wondering, any suggestions how to get cats to stay out of her garden and to go somewhere else as a toilet?
Oh my goodness, it's a difficult one. It really is. My heart goes out to this listener, because I've been in a similar situation. No, nobody really wants cat poo and pee in their garden because it's not a nice smell. Nobody wants to be sitting around in it, particularly when it gets a little bit warmer in the summer and the smell might travel a wee bit more. What I'd say is I have a few suggestions. I think one of them is to think about, is there something in that particular area of the garden that's attracting your cat to think, that's a lovely toilet, I'll do my business there. And generally, when cats toilet somewhere, they want something that they can kind of scrabble around in, some kind of dirt or dust or soil that they can kind of kick around a little bit after they've done their business. It's kind of a natural behaviour. You'll see a lot of them do their business and then scrabble in the soil for a second. So think, is there something in that particular area that's particularly attractive to that cat? And if so, it may be worth just thinking, well, I wouldn't assume to take on Peter's gardening role in this. He may have better suggestions, but it may be worth thinking about just putting something down like stone or shale that's not such an attractive substrate for that cat to want to do their business on. So it's not so easy for them to do their little scrabble around in. Cats are very finicky, though.
They're creatures of habit. They'll go back to the same place. Yeah, so it's to break the habit.
Break the habit. There are some products available if it's a specific area of your garden that's affected. There are specific products that are kind of marketed as a pet safe but deterrent from their doing their business in certain areas. There's lots of different ones in the market. The one that pops into my head is actually a brand called Get Off, and it's like these little kind of watery beads that you can put down in an area that are pet safe, but they smell quite strongly to a cat or dog, and they don't like the smell, so it can kind of deter them from going in that area. Now obviously that might be a good solution if it's a certain area of your garden that's affected, if it's very specific, but you know, you're not going to be able to spread all of that all over the garden. It's just not feasible. I think what I'd say is, if it's a specific area, think to yourself, what can I do to make that less attractive to the cat?
Yeah,
what can I do to
habit.
Make it less like a litter box?
Okay, and very quickly, because I only have a minute on this, need advice, please. I need to remove a bird's nest from the engine in my lorry. The birds just flew out. Where can I put it that they'll find it? Do you just go somewhere near where it's parked?
Yeah, I think that's probably the best thing. I think, like, obviously we wouldn't recommend removing nest if we can, but if it's in an engine like that, you have to. I think I would just carefully remove it. If you can cover your hands to avoid scenting the nest as best you can, and just put it somewhere nearby. Maybe worth giving, let's say, I think, is it Wildlife Ireland? One of those charities, a little call just for specific advice, but I would say just, you know,
somewhere it has safe to be done, nearby.
It has to be moved, yeah. Somewhere safe, somewhere high up is okay. Usually what I'd recommend.
All right, but keep your hands off it. You don't want scent getting on it. Okay, listen, pleasure as always, Jane. Have a good week and we'll chat to you next week.
You too. Thank you.
Good afternoon to you. That is Jane Pickett of the Islandwood Veterinary Hospital, part of the Mill Street Veterinary Group.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.